Parshas Truma Tov Shin Samach Zayin. We start off the parasha of Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Leimor. Darbel B'nei Yisrael V'yichuli Truma. He commands the B'nei Yisrael the task of building the Mishkan, which begins with the contributions of everyone in Klal Yisrael giving, whether it's Zov, Kesef, and Echoshis, as the Pasuk tells us. But Darbel B'nei Yisrael V'yichuli Truma, and take for me Truma, Me'ez Kalish Asher Yidvenu Liboy, from every man who has a giving heart, Tichu es Trumas, you should take my Truma. This is the trim you should take. Zov, Kesav, and Chayish, Vescheles, Vagomas, Elashoni, Vishesh, Vizim, Ereselim, Adamim, Erestchashim, Atse Shitim, cedar wood, all the things that you need that are necessary for building the Mishkan. And then the point of all this is Viasuli, Mikdash, Vishokhanti, Vesecham, in order to build the Mikdash. So the first thing we have to ask is the blatant contradiction within the first Psukim. Speak to Bnei Yisrael, v'yichuli truma, and take from them truma. It means it's a tax. It's everyone has to give v'yichu and take truma from everyone. And then it says me'ez kolish asher yedvinu yedvinu libay tichu es trumasi. Whoever has a giving heart, whoever wants to give, then you take it from him. Same we find at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, which is again Vayakel and Pekud is really a repetition of Truma Tetzave, but this is when it actually took place. And over there, in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel and Pasuk Hay, Kichu Me'itchem Truma LaHashem, take from them, take from Bnei Yisrael Truma to Hashem, Kol Nediv Liba Yiviyah. But whoever has a Nediv Leib, whoever has a giving heart, he wants to donate to the Mishkan, Yiviyah Truma Hashem, he'll bring the Truma Hashem. So do you take it? Or do they have to give it? That's question number one. The Sephorna in the beginning of our Parshah, Truma, really takes care of this question. He says that it says in Parshas Vayakel, Vayomer Moshe al kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Who's Adas B'nei Yisrael? This is the Sanhedrin. In other words, who are the Gaboim? Who are the Gabei Tzedakah to collect all of the Kesef, Zov, and Echoshes, everything that was needed for the Mishkan? It was the Sanhedrin. Not a lowly job at all to be a Gabbai Tzedakah. The Sanhedrin was the Gabbai Tzedakah, and they went around to collect all the Tzedakah from Bnei Yisrael. However, even though it says, Kichume Yitchem Truma, you should take, or hear, V'yichuli Truma, but uvetzet sivalam sheyigbu, v'yisrael leimtinu sheyigbu ha-Sanhedrin. Ela tekev yosim lefnei Moshe ve'yu ad belidai. Even though he's pointing out there is a contradiction, even though it says, seems to say you should take, even forcefully take, as sometimes that is the case by tzedakah, when there's a tax, when they levy a tax on all of Bnei Yisrael to give a certain amount to tzedakah. For example, we had last week, we spoke at the Machzis HaShekel, everyone had to contribute a certain amount. So that wasn't optional. That was mandatory for everyone to give. And here the Sanhedrin, the tax collectors, the Gaboi Tzedakah had to go around. But here Moshe Rabbeinu says is different. We don't want you to forcefully take, but rather it's only Me'ez Kalish Asher Yedvinu Liboy. So indeed there is a V'yichu, you have to take from them because it's going around to collect. However, it's only Me'ez Kalish Asher Yedvinu Liboy. Only that won't, those who want to give wholeheartedly, that's who you should take from. Still doesn't answer really the word v'yichu. V'yichu means then they should take. V'yichu is going on Bnei Yisrael. So you can say, no, it means it's going on the tzedakah collectors. So on the Sanhedrin are going to collect v'yichu and they should take from all those who want to give, they should take. Okay, that could be an understanding. What many of them are first from Asher really should say v'yitnu li truma. Speak to Bnei Yisrael, v'yitnu, and they should give truma. So according to the Sifsei Chachamim, Rashi, in the first Rashi in the Parsha, is coming to answer this question. V'yichu li truma, says Rashi, two words, li lishmi. They should give it for me, and for my sake. For my name, they should give it l'shem shemayim, they should do it lishma. Why? Because really everything in the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So really, we're not giving him anything. So it's really, you can't say v'yitnu li truma. You can't say give truma. Giving implies that I have something and I'm going to give it to Hashem. If it's Hashem's already, I can't give it to Him. So what I could do is, I could take it from one place and put it in another place. I can't give it to Hashem as if it was mine, I'm giving it to Hashem. It's all Hashem. Kol dover sheba'olam shalayu, says the Sifsei Chachamim. What I could do is I could take it from one place and put it to another place. And hence the wording, v'yichuli truma, they should take truma. And it's, again, with the along with the understanding of the Sifarnoi, it's only me'ez kolish asher yidvenu libay, only that those who would want to give wholeheartedly, those that can give li lishmi, that can give it with the right intentions, the right reasons, the right feelings, the right attitude, that's who you take the truma from. That's simply understood, this pasuk of yichuli truma. Why is it taking? Taking it from one place and putting it to another place. It's not giving, because it's already his, but we're taking it. It's really much deeper than that. See, every year we learn this parasha, that Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael, this is what we need. We need zov, kesef, and chayshev, we need gold, silver, and copper, all sorts of wools, and we need cedar wood. And we learn through it as if, okay, fine, so they asked him to collect that. And where were the Bnei Yisrael at this time? They're in the desert. Where do you have, the Medrash has this kasha, something we overlook. Where do they have cedar wood, that where it says in the parasha, it says, v'abriach ha-tichon, that middle bar that held together all of the Kerashim on the two sides, on the two lengths of the Mishkan, it was one piece of cedar wood, which was, the Medrash says, with 32 amos. So you're talking about it's over 60 feet long. Where did they find in the Midbar a piece of cedar tree, perfectly cut, 60 feet long? Where did they get that from? And the Medrash asked further, where did they get precious stones? We think there was a gold mine over there. Where did they get precious stones from in the Midbar? So the Medrash actually is in two places. One is in Parshas Vayigash. You'll see why in a moment it's in Parshas Vayigash. Parshas Tzadi Dalad, Oiz Dalad. When Yaakov Avinu found out that Yosef is still alive, he said, Elchov Erenu Beterem Amus, I'm going to go down to see him, I'm going to go to Mitzrayim to see him before I leave this world. I want to be able to see my son Yosef again. The next pasuk, after he says, I'm going down to Mitzrayim, he gathered his family and he's going to travel to Mitzrayim. Vayisa Yisrael, Yisrael traveled. V'chol ha'shaloi, and everything that was with him. All of his family. 70 souls altogether. Vayavoi Be'erusheva. And he came to Be'erusheva. Why did he go to Be'erusheva? He's going to Mitzrayim. He's not going to Be'erusheva. Why did he go to Be'erusheva? So the Medrash asks this question. Lahechen holach. Why did he go to Be'erusheva? Amar Rav Nachman, Sheholach Lokutz Arozim, he went to cut down cedar trees. Shenota Avram Zikeinoi Bever Shava. He went to cut down the cedar trees, the Atzei Shittim, that his grandfather Avram Avinu had planted. How do you know Avram Avinu planted cedar trees? Vayita Eshel Bever Shava. He planted trees in Be'er Sheva. Why did Avram plant trees in Be'er Sheva? He wanted the shade. Who knows how long it would have been till he would have gotten grow. Because Avraham Avinu knew Baruch HaKodesh is going to be a Mishkan. He knew he needs cedar trees, so he planted it now. Yaakov Avinu knew that he's going down to Mitzrayim and they're not coming back for a long, long time. And they're not coming back to Be'er Sheva, but they're going through the Midbar. And they're going to go before Eretz Yisrael, they have to build a Mishkan. So before he went to Mitzrayim, he took a detour to Be'er Sheva, cut down those trees, and throughout the hundreds of years in Mitzrayim, they kept these Atzei Shittim. But that itself is an ace. That they kept it, and they knew where exactly it was, and when they went out, they rushed out on Pesach night, they took these cedar trees with them. They had these trees with them throughout, and they knew exactly why they needed it, which makes the question here even stronger. That's how the Medrash, by the way, answers. Nehechin Matsu, where they find the Atzei Shittim that were 32 Amis long. Elamalai Mishayu Mutsnoi Mimayim Mimayis Yaakov Avinu. It was already hidden with them. It was in their possessions from the days of Yaakov Avinu. That's why it says V'chol Asher Nimtze Itay. It doesn't say V'chol Asher Matsu Itay. Nimtze Itay was already with them from a while back. But which makes the question even stronger, then where exactly is the Nedivah slave? It means they already had this. It means they knew already, they had a tradition. These are the woods that are going to be needed for the Mishkan. And now the Gabbai Tzedakah, the Sanhedrin go around, listen, we're asking for contributions, donations to the Mishkan. They knew exactly why they had these things in the first place. They only had this wood in order to give it to the Mishkan, to be able to build the Mishkan. So it's like you praise those who donated to the Mishkan. They knew exactly why it had to be. Furthermore, we mentioned that the Medrash asks also a question of where they had precious stones from. The Medrash in Lamed Gimel Ches in our parsha. Me'ez Kolish Asher Yedvenu Libay. Taking all of the materials only from those who give with a full heart. Amar Rabbanan, Af B'man Shayyari LiYisrael. When the man came down, when they were in the Midbar, from already Tez Zayin Nisan, when the man started falling, and everybody got their portion of man. Together with the man, some people got even more than that. What did they get? Precious stones fell from the heavens, along with the man. And we know that tzaddikim, they didn't have to go far out to get their man. They went right outside the door. There was the man. So sitting together with the man were precious stones. So you think, great, look at that. They got the man. You go to the wife. Look what I bought you. A nice, beautiful diamond. No, they knew exactly what is this for. Hashem just gave it to them. Why? Because there's going to be Avnei Shoyam and Avnei Miluim. They're going to need precious stones on the Choshen and the Eifed. And that's exactly what they knew it was for. And they hid it away because they knew there was going to be a time when they needed this. So if that's the case, Hashem al derech nes, Hashem miraculously just gave them exactly what they needed to give. So where exactly is this great Nisayan? Where's the challenge of having to give to donate to the Mishkan if everything was given to them? Yaakov Avinu already told them, this is the wood that you need. Hashem provides them miraculously with the precious stone. So where's the Nisayan to give these contributions to the Mishkan?
Given it back. I mean, if you have it already in your possession,
right?
Human nature is to hold on to things you already have.
Suddenly,
you give it back.
Oh,
very difficult.
Right.
Even though it was given to you.
Right. So the truth is, when we think about it, this is really, even today, we have miraculously Hashem has provided us with money, with chachma, with gevura, whatever a person has, he has as a pikadon. He has for safekeeping, and then he has to do with it what he has to do with it. Some he could use for himself, some he has to give out to others, some he has to share with others. So any tzedakah really that a person gives, a person has to feel the same way. He has to feel that Hashem provided him with funds, and some of it he has to give away to others as tzedakah, and some of it he can keep for himself. And yet, we find that sometimes it's a challenge, that if I'm giving it, sometimes it's a challenge to actually give, or sometimes it's a challenge, and even if we do give, we feel like we're owed something in return, we're doing such a great thing. Is that really what's happening? If Hashem gave them these precious stones, is it such a challenge just to give it? The only challenge was, v'yichuli li lishmi. It has to be done with the right attitude. It has to be done that I understand it's just taking, v'yichu, take from one place and put it in another place. But it's not like it's my giving. It's not like it's mine that I'm giving. It was just given to me in order to give it to the right places. And that takes bitachon. The Chavos HaVavos in the beginning of Shaar Bitachon says that from the One of the benefits of a Baal Bitachon is that when he knows he has chayvos elokim with his money, he'll give it away with a nefesh chafetza of a ruach nadiva. And he won't hold back, and he'll feel v'hu be'enav kipikodayin, he knows it's just for a safekeeping, tziva lishtamash by alponim yuchodim, uvinyanim yuchodim lezman kotsuf. He has of a certain amount of time for certain needs, some of it for himself, some of it to give to others, some of it to use for tzedakah, and this will be his attitude. But that's the nature of people, and as we can explain even in times of the Mishkan. The nature of people is that once they're given something, it's very hard to them to part with it, and it's very hard to even feel that it's not my own giving away. I once heard a beautiful mashal from the Mashkiach, from Rav Ramatisyahu. He said the following mashal. So the man had two very close friends, who were not very wealthy. They made ends meet, month to month, able to get by, nothing extra. They had no extra funds. One day, one of the friends had a very rich uncle in a different country, and he came to visit them. First time he came to visit, and he stayed for a few weeks, and he was very pleased to see his nephew, and of course he had his nephew's friend, which he met over the few weeks. Before he left, the uncle said, "You know, I just want to leave something, a small gift for you." And he left his nephew $1,000. $1,000, extra $1,000, you know, he starts making a list of all the things he's going to do with this. And the uncle then leaves, and the friend comes in and says, "Hey, listen, you know, my good friend, you just got $1,000. You know, that's a lot of money, $1,000 extra. I mean, maybe just $200 maybe you'll give to me. Just $200. I mean, you'll still have $800. To $800 you still have to..." He certainly doesn't want to give, but he's pestering him. So he's a good friend. He doesn't want to have hard feelings. So he gives him, reluctantly, he gives him $200, feeling that he has just done the greatest act of chesed in the world. He gave him his $200. Fine. So now let's change the scenario a bit. The uncle comes, he stays a few weeks, he meets the nephew and his good friend, and now he's about to depart, and he tells the nephew, "You know what, I just want to leave you with a small gift. Here's $1,000. I want you to take, you should take most of it, you take $800 of it, and $200 you give to your friend." That's what the uncle told him to do with it. So the friend comes by the next day, and he says, "Look at this, my uncle left me $1,000, he says you give $200 of it, I'm sorry, only $200 is for you, I have $800. But does he have any problem giving him the $200? Does he give it reluctantly? Does he think he's doing the biggest favor in the world? No. So it's like it's a different mashal that I heard once. Someone said that he has in his job that he works in, he actually works in a Jewish institution. He says it's unbelievable what they do over there. When they hired him originally, they told him that this is your salary, and we're also going to give you or 10% increase on your salary, that's going to be for your discretionary fund to give to tzedakah. And you can give it to any tzedakah you want, but I'm going to give you, you get an extra 10% to give freely to tzedakah." And he was very happy that this arrangement was made, and then he realized that every other person in that institution also had this arrangement. In other words, that they said is that this is your salary, but you should know 10% of your salary is really to go to tzedakah. And that's you can give whatever you want. But built in, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us what he has to give us, he gives us an extra 10% to as a discretionary fund. We can give it to any tzedakah we want, but we have to feel that it's not, we're doing the best chesed in the world and we're being the biggest givers, because it's just the uncle gave us 800 to keep for ourselves and 200 to give out. And that was the attitude that they had to have of the Mishkan. Of course it was given to them. It was given to them falling from Shemayim. It was given to them from Yaakov Avinu. But it was all in the attitude to actually feel that it was only Pikadon. Valend, I just felt this. It really, this point hit home a few months ago. I was zeichet to go for a week, actually 6 days, to Eretz Yisrael, for a family wedding. And before I went, many people who come to the Kollel knew I was leaving for Eretz Yisrael. And very gracious, they gave shliach mitzvah geld, right? Person travels away, I don't know why it's only when they go to Eretz Yisrael and not when they go to Argentina, but okay, that's people. And people must have been very afraid for my safety, because I got almost $50 in just a few days to give for tzedakah in Eretz Yisrael. But here I have $50 American money, and I felt like Rockefeller. You go to the kotel and people are giving half a shekel, and here I'm giving out dollar bills, you know, like whoosh, getting brachas from here until Shabbos, you know. How many days was it already? I had to get rid of 50. One day was Shabbos, one day was Erev Shabbos, and one day was the wedding, and I had to do something. So how many days, how many hours did I have to give out that $50? Not so much time. So anyone who came over, I was just giving it away. Maybe sometimes 5, maybe sometimes 10. And I felt, you know, like here I am, the rich guy from America giving away. But then it hit me something else. It dawned upon me that it was so easy to give that money away. Why? Because it wasn't my money. It wasn't my money. I had my own spending money that I brought. But this money wasn't mine. It was people gave me this money in order to give it to tzedakah. So it wasn't mine. And I sensed that it was so easy to give that money away. And this is what Parshas Truma teaches us. Parshas Truma teaches us that this is how we have to feel. We have to feel that all the money Hashem gave us, He gave us extra to be able to give away. Anything that He gave us, He gave us a lecture to give away. So we shouldn't, we understand this in Isaiah, but we should feel like, you know, this is not even mine. That's one of the pieces of advice that the Chofetz Chaim says, if a person has a special account for his Meiser money, special account, every time he gets a certain income, whether it's the week, the month, he takes a little away and puts in a special account. Then that account is not mine anymore. It's much easier to give it away. Psychologically, it's much easier to give it away. But this is the attitude. V'yichuli truma. We're taking from one place and giving it to another place because it's all Hashem's. Kol lavi shabaylam shalayhu. The Nisayin is passed when it's v'yichuli li lishmi.